All of the evangelists are invited to the annual evangelization retreat in Bloomington on the weekend of June 22nd. We invite all of you to come out for that one.
That's good. Beth, me and you are leading that. It's going to be so much fun.
Well, we aren't leading. Father Ben leading. Is leading.
Oh, you're right. We're in charge of the fun.
I'll be there.
And we'll be there.
A bunch of people from Detroit are coming.
Yes, beautiful. We are excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, good. So what's our topic today? Are we going with the how we messed up?
And what the Lord's taught through them.
All right, I got it.
They're definitely not, I don't want to use the word fail. That's so, ooh.
Oh, okay. Evangelism mistakes and what the Lord's taught through them.
So today it's an interesting thing to talk about mistakes and stuff because we have a wonderful evangelist with us today, and I can't believe she can find anything to talk about with this topic because Anne has been doing so much good work. I've evangelized with her in a number of different situations with so many different people, and I got to tell you this evangelist Anne Harmon, she has great energy. She prays with people. She has something in common with almost everybody, and her energy comes through, and her love of the Lord also. So, I'm really excited to welcome Anne here. I'm going to let her introduce herself a little bit more about some of the things she's been doing. But welcome, Anne. I'm so glad to have you.
Yes, happy to be here. Praise the Lord for all He's doing through us and through St. Paul Street Evangelization. I wanted to just share with you a little bit about how I got involved.
Perfect.
With St. Paul Street.
I was just about to ask you.
I knew you were going to ask.
I don't even know if I need to be here. Yeah,
you know, I had about a 15-year career schooling my children, and as it was coming to a close, really for the last maybe 3 or 4 years of it, I was just praying, like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do next? What, where are you going to put me? Where do you want me? I was already teaching quite a bit of Latin because I'm blessed with 2 children. And, you know, I was able to learn the Latin with them, and people would say, oh, well, you're decent. Will you teach my kids? So anyway, I was teaching Latin, and I thought, well, I love Latin. I want to continue that. Lord, do you want me to continue that? And I just was really praying seriously. And right before my daughter graduated, my younger child, a friend of mine told me about a training at the seminary. It was a basic evangelization training, and it was I think the end of 2013. And she, you know, I didn't talk to her all that much, but it was kind of like a last minute thing. And I was like, well, my husband is out of town traveling for work. My daughter is all set for the weekend. So anyway, I went to the training, and I was blown away. Like, you mean we're supposed to be, well, I know Jesus said it, yeah, but the saints and the popes and the encyclicals and the apostolic exhortations, and it's all over the Bible. I was blown away. It was just so amazing that a month later, they were having another one. The one I went to had 50 people. We were in the basement of the seminary. That one month later, I think it was a month, I said to my husband, you got to come to this with me. I want to go again. I want to hear the training. He said, okay, I'll go. There was 100 people. And it was up in one of those, what do they call those, Beth? The salons or whatever.
Yes, in the salons that they have upstairs.
Yeah, something like that. And so 100 people. And I was like, wow, the next one's going to be 200 people. anyway, so like, I got involved I evangelized in Royal Oak or something, and then it came around where they were going to have these regional missionaries. And anyway, some of my mistakes are from the soup kitchen events, and some are from church festivals. So okay. I support church festival teams, the church festival team, and other, you know, if you're going to a downtown area, I support some of those teams when I'm able. So they're from really all over, these mistakes.
Wow. So you do festival and then the soup kitchen as well as Awaken.
Right. Awaken's monthly. Most of the soup kitchens are monthly. We have 3 teams in the Detroit area right now. So it's kind of like, yeah, it's a monthly event.
Plus street teams.
Plus street teams.
Plus events like vendor tables at different.
Oh my goodness.
I would be going to those events anyway. I would be meeting friends there or whatever. So
you are so good. Okay, well, I'm excited to hear. So what stories did Our Lady prompt you to be able to share?
Okay,
through all this experience.
Well, the first one is really I think the most important one. We were at a soup kitchen in Detroit called All Saints, and I'm normally, you know, I'm a person, I don't have headaches and stuff like that, but I had this big headache, and I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to desert my team, okay? It's kind of that was usually just three or four of us that went there, and we're called not to evangelize alone, right? So I thought, well, if this person is sick, that would leave, like, maybe only one person, if two people were sick or whatever. So anyway, I said, I'm going anyway. I didn't think it was anything contagious. Before I even got my coat off, I mean, I don't, you know, it's usually kind of chilly down there, but I remember we were kind of setting up and I wasn't quite prepared and I had this headache and the people are starting to come in. They open the doors, I think at 11. And this woman kind of walks up to the table and I'm kind of talking to her. I'm in a little bit of a blur, like a fuzzy headed state. I know that we've prayed together as the evangelists. So, you know, but we know we've called upon the Lord. And before I knew it, she was saying a prayer of consecration. And I just kind of shook my head. I'm like, what happened, Lord? What happened, Lord? I was just however the Lord worked through me. And it was just the Lord to remind me, it's not about you and how you feel, Ann, and what words you have. It's about me and my power, my might. Anyway, it just blew me away. I was like, well, would you like to say this prayer? And before I think it was in the back of, it was in the back of one of those little, it was either in the back of
the good news,
the Luke or the evangelist booklet. I can't remember
right.
Which one I had.
It's the beautiful Trinitarian one that we say so many times. I love that prayer.
Yes. And anyway, so it, what I learned from it was, it doesn't really matter how I feel. And it's certainly not about me. It's about the Lord, his power and might working in these people. And it was just super humbling. I just walked away going, oh my goodness, Lord, you are, you know, it was great.
You said it was almost like you blacked out and then all of a sudden she's saying this consecration prayer. Like
I was kind of in a fog and I was speaking with her and
realizing,
how are you, hearing about her day. And she just told something that she said led me to say, would you like to say a prayer of surrender? I don't even know what words I used. That's what I'm saying. I wish I knew so I could say them again. but she did want to say a prayer of surrender, consecration, whatever you want to call it. And so I was able to flip to it and she read it right there on the spot.
And that sounds like an evangelization win if I've ever like that's a, so indeed. You're just saying the quote unquote mistake was recognizing that even though you didn't feel like being there that day and you didn't know if the Lord was gonna be able to use you, that absolutely he did, and end up being like one of the most beautiful encounters you've had evangelizing.
Right And it was almost a mistake in that I should say almost a mistake in that I was thinking I couldn't do anything. I was just there like physical support almost for this person that was definitely going to be there, the team leader, John. He was going to bring all the stuff. So the mistake was that I was just counting on me, and then the Lord turned it around and said, no, it's my power and my might and my plan for her and her life.
That's amazing.
That's great. I know in our BET, I have this slide that talks about that. It has a quote from Pope Benedict that says how we must be available instruments, right? But it's the Lord who gives us the imagination and the creative ideas about how to act. And these are ideas and things that we can't plan on our own. Mm-hmm. And no. Just being docile. And I guess that's the mistake. The mistake is thinking you can do this.
Right.
Thinking it's all about me.
So,
I studied, I got all my good words, I'm great, you know.
Yep.
You know,
just go with a humble heart.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of I have one of my godsons now, his name's Steve. He wasn't in the church until last Easter. And it was about a year and a half ago that I was at a daily mass. It was on a Wednesday. And at the back of our church, we have a board with pictures and descriptions of biographies of all the people who are in RCIA for the parish. It's beautiful. It's really well done. And there was this guy, a young guy, just looking at it. And I'm with my friend Jessica, and she just walks up to him and says, "Hey, would you like to join RCIA?" First words to the guy. Guy's response, "Yeah, I would."
Oh, my
God. Wow.
So we go. So then we go and have lunch with him and come to find out that the Lord obviously had been working on his heart for a ridiculously long time. The reason he came to our church, that was the first mass he's ever been to. Wow. He came to our church because he thought our website was really well done. He was like, if they have a good website, then they're going to have loving people and they're going to have a good community. And, I don't think he would have joined RCA on the spot like that. But it was amazing. And then it turned out that he asked me to be his sponsor and I got to be his godfather.
Wow.
And now I'm the godfather, not only him, but also his two sons, Jack and Charlie. And it's just such a funny story when we talk about the role of the Spirit and the Lord doing the work, I mean, that is just the most obvious story I can think of where I did nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I legitimately did nothing. Even Jessica's the one who asked me the question. I just stood there and then I just got to be a sponsor. But it was
good.
So funny.
Wow. Well, you know, just hearing that reminded me of something that happened at an Awaken. You asked about Awaken. Mm-hmm. And this did happen at Awaken. And it was a mistake, but turned out well. but there was this guy standing there, kind of tall, with kind of a mod haircut. I suppose he's about 30. And he's got like one of these, a cane for blind people with the white tip cane. And he didn't look blind. And so we have lots of people on the team, praise the Lord. And they're all busy setting up. And I was like, well, so I kind of walked away from our table and I started chatting with this guy. And it was before Awaken, right? So it's like, wow, he's even come early. So I said, I don't know. I just approached him. How are you doing? And we're setting things up and we'll have rosaries and we can pray with you. You know, I'm just telling him about our table. And so I asked him about his vision. I noticed you have, you know, this cane and what's happening with that. And anyway, he told me about what was going on and he didn't, you know, appear to be blind, as I mentioned. But anyway, I asked him if he wanted prayer for his vision and he said, no. I would like prayer for these other things. And I was like, oh my gosh. So when I say, would you like prayer? It's not up to me what they want prayer for. It's up to the Lord and the Lord working through that person. So I learned a very important lesson that day that you say, would you like prayer today? And what would you like prayer for? Not, you know what I mean? Like, anyway,
You can't assume.
Correct.
Yeah. Let them.
Yeah. Well, really, Beth, if you want to use words, it's presume, because I did know that he did have these vision issues. So anyway, I raised an editor, Beth.
Thank you.
It's hard to turn off.
don't presume. Thank you. But it's kind of like the story, and I don't know if I'll say it correctly, but it's kind of like the story with Jesus and the paralytic, right? You know, what do you want prayer for? And he forgives the sins instead of making him walk. Mm-hmm. Like the presumption is make the guy walk.
Right.
But Jesus knew interior, there was something that was more important to be healed, you know, spiritual healing.
Let me tell you what else this guy said though. He was in RCIA and he was in this parish where the Awaken event was being held. And he said, do you know what happened last month at Awaken? Because Awaken is at a church for 3 Fridays, 3 months in a row. But he said, at the last Awaken I was at during adoration, I finally got it that is Jesus up there. Like blown away, like, oh, thank you, Lord, that I approached him. I don't care if I sounded like a dork. I don't care that he didn't. He said that, and I thought, wow. It's all worth it.
How beautiful. Just to have him articulate that, say it out loud. There's something about saying something that makes it more real than just thinking it through, but he said it to you.
Right. And I tell you, I trotted over shortly after that, and I told the Awaken lady, like, if you know, the person that runs Awaken, like, if you'd like to talk to him, like, they need people to interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I let her know, because they need that strengthening too. You know, Awaken is a lot of work, and it's great for them to hear those stories as well.
Yes.
But if I never approached him, I wouldn't have heard it. So praise God for listening.
You know, with the presumptions, it just made me think of a story of when I was actually doing evangelization, and a guy came up to me. And one of the things that he said was, I mentioned to him I was in the seminary, you know, before, and he goes, and I said that I discerned out and I just didn't feel like that was the Lord calling me to do. And one of the things he said was, well, you know, many people can go into the seminary for wrong reasons. And I said, oh, I guess it's possible. They're trying to maybe, how do I
like
even
if
put
your
this?
Parents say, I want you to be a priest. So they go into the seminary.
That's
the wrong reason.
Right. Okay. Yeah. If their parents are making them, if they're real, they don't feel called the priesthood, but they don't have like a job or something, you know.
They got
nothing else to do. Like, might as well try to be a priest. Okay, that's obviously not, this is a calling from the Lord. So in my own mind, I'm thinking the only wrong reason to not be in the seminary if the Lord is not calling you there. And there might be multiple reasons. But in his mind, he was thinking of guys who would go there so that they could be around like children with the whole thing, with the whole scandal with the church.
Oh,
that's what he was thinking the whole time. And he ended up saying that and then leaving. And instead of me presuming, I talked to him so long about there are men who might be going who may not feel called by God, but are going for other reasons, just as mentioned, like maybe exterior pressures or worries about not being able to do something else in the world, but, or something like that. The whole time he was just talking about the scandal, and he ended up just saying that. And then he said how he watched some documentary about it and how that's, you know, that's what he thinks of the church. And he ended up leaving the conversation still thinking that. And I didn't even get a chance. I was like, why did I presume what I thought? I guess I was just speaking from my own innocence, like own experience.
But that's a really good one, not to presume, because we've all done that, because you have this idea, like, I'm not going to go up and speak to that particular person. That person's got tattoos all over. They don't want to talk to me. And Steve and Adam, they talk about how some of their best encounters, Adam has a big story that he tells in the BET about that. So you're right. I think that's a really good mistake that we can make, is to presume we know something about the person we're talking about
that's why we talk about the Socratic method, and we talk about how we need to constantly, as evangelists, not be answering questions but asking questions. And that was one of the times where it would have been really important for me to do that, because our whole conversation would have been different. He his whole time had something built up differently. So that was a big mistake that I made pretty early on. But Anne, was there any other ones?
I want to give you one from a festival. Church festivals are an interesting and wonderful place to evangelize, because there's Catholics and non-Catholics. There's everybody there, right? And people do what I call, they wander, okay? They wander to the beer tent, but they wander to the bathroom. They wander, you know, and they're just there with their family or friends or whatever, just kind of walking around and enjoying themselves. And I saw this man walk by in one of those big boots, you know, like he had had surgery or something. And I thought he was kind of far from the table. And we do walk over to people, but I was talking to someone near the table, so I didn't get to talk to him the first time he walked past. So he came back later, like an hour later, and I just started talking to him, and he said that he would like prayer for his, came out that he wanted prayer for his foot. I don't know if I said prayer for the foot. I don't remember what happened, but so we got him into the shade. It was one of those really hot days. We got him a seat, and his wife was there, and so I was praying for everything that he mentioned and his foot. We were praying for his foot last, I recall. And so I said, how's your foot feeling? He said, it's tingling, or it's something like that. And I said, that's great. And then I closed the prayer. I did not continued to pray. And I don't know what I was thinking. I think I was hot myself too, not thinking clearly, but you know, now I would hardly ever stop the prayer if the person was having some physical sensation. Mm. So he was having tingling in his foot and I did not continue to pray. And so, you know, what I learned was there's any sensation like that, of course you're going to keep praying.
Right, right. Yeah. When you do your prayer for healing, are there some certain guidelines you try to apply as you're praying?
Well, if, like, you know, if someone can show you what they can't do, like I can only lift my shoulder this high. That, you know, for shoulders, it's often rotator cuffs. And they'll say, I'll say, how high can you lift it? Oh, I can only do this. So when you pray, then you can see if they can go higher. It's so that's one of the things we look for. Now, this guy couldn't take his boot off because of the surgical stuff he had going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like to get them to show us what they can't do. And then after prayer, show us what you can do. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you interview them ahead of time to see what's going on.
Right.
And then you pray. And if there's something, some kind of movement or some kind of sensation, mm-hmm. instead of stopping, you continue to pray.
Right. Right. We pray again and then we ask again. So, you know, I'll do that 3 or 4 times if they're still having, you know, warmth or tingling or buzzing or, you know, they use all kinds of different words as to what's happening. I did have a woman at a soup kitchen that we prayed with for a hand, for her hand, and we prayed for a lot of other things as well. And she was getting some sensation of heat. And then, you know, it kind of subsided and we closed the prayer and she left. But then she came back from the bathroom like this going, I can move my hand, my hand. And so you just don't know how God's going to work. And I just like learn that lesson again. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Never give up. Always have hope.
Mm-hmm. So, right. And does everyone that you pray for healing get healed right there on the spot in front of you?
Oh, certainly not. You know, I was just saying to Brian, though, I know that there's always at least some spiritual healing when you pray with a person. Mm-hmm. You might not be able to see it physically. They might not change their joint or their hand or their foot, but they stopped. It's a divine appointment, right? You're there and they're there and you both have 2 or 3 minutes. That's a divine appointment.
Right.
So I trust that the Lord is doing something during that time.
Wow.
That's great. That's great.
That is.
Did you have another one or were those the three?
Well, Brian was saying that we were closing up, but I did want to just, you know, if people are going to do soup kitchen stuff, I would just encourage you to, I almost got my hand broken at a soup kitchen reaching out to shake someone's hand. And I didn't, you know, I kind of knew the man. We would see him each month and I didn't know he was high on that day. And I said, hi, Jim, how you doing? And I reached my hand out and I thought we were going to be, you know, going to get a cast or something.
Oh my goodness.
I learned my lesson that you just, you know, if you're greeting people, maybe you hand them a rosary, or if you're standing up like at the front of the soup kitchen, you could actually hand them the silverware with the napkin wrapped around it. If you want to have something to hand them, I wouldn't offer a physical hand, too quickly, unless you're totally sure that they're not high and that they wouldn't be able to injure you. Mm-hmm. So that was a very scary day, and I will say it was a big learning deal for me. Be mm-hmm. careful, Anne.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That one of the things when you're evangelizing is on the street, not so much at some place like Awaken or a festival, but on the street at the soup kitchen. You really are putting yourself out there saying, Lord, who do you have for me today? And you do not know what person, where they're going to be, what's going on. And you're just on your toes going, okay, you have to be super, super flexible with whoever God brings to you. And you know, it's a beautiful thing though. It really
it is. And you just say, I'm available, Lord. I'm available. Mm. You know, whatever you want to happen today.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for being on, Ann. Like, this has been great. It's happy to what do a blessing it. It is that we have this, be able to talk to all these awesome team leaders who are, mm-hmm. yeah, just have so much wisdom and experience to just be able to share with everybody. And yeah, I don't know, Beth, did you have any last closing, any other closing thoughts?
No, I'm just so glad to have Ann here with me in the Detroit area. I don't know if Ann, you've been a teacher for so long. Do you have just a words of wisdom, just one little line to give out to our listeners about if they're kind of unsure about, should I do this? Should I not do this? What is the street evangelization all about? What would be your words of wisdom and encouragement?
Trust in the Lord.
Yes. Yeah. Well, good. Amen. Thank you.
Not be afraid. Amen. Well, thank you everybody for joining us. Again, you can go to our website, streetevangelization.com, and see all the local teams in your area, support us, get further training. You can even go to our website for the podcast and be able to see who it is that we're interviewing at streetevangelization.com/stories from the street. And want to extend gratefulness to Gabby Benzon for the music intro and outro again, and just for her great music ministry down there. Check her out. You can also make sure if there's anything come up in your area. I think Ann mentioned the healing in evangelization and her experience doing healing prayer. We have retreats going on around the country. Check those out. There's one near you. We also mentioned, Beth mentioned, the basic evangelization training. We are doing a lot of those this summer. And so those are definitely worth checking out. All right. What did you say last time, Beth? We are sort of, yeah. St. Paul Street Evangelization, mobilizing Catholics to do the extraordinary work of evangelization.
That's right.
That's right. Okay. Until next time.
Bye-bye.